Father, we thank you for the diverse testimonies your children have given this evening. We return all the glory to you who has done every one of them. And we ask by virtue of this testimony, you will do more for your people in the name of Jesus. And for many others whom you have done one thing or the other for, who did not come out to testify, but we know that we are all alive today. It's your goodness and it's a testimony in itself. We return all the praise to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Abba. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we rise up? We want to take, want to go into the study proper. James chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 6. Let's take it together. I want to go. Adulterers and adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our Father, we ask that you will expand your word in our heart this evening in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit divine, we have come to dine with you once again. Have your way. I have no words of my own. I ask that you will teach me and teach your people in the language we shall understand, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, for we know you answer us. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we be seated? I hope the congregation will not be straining my eyes this evening. The whole of the two rows at the middle are opened, and we are just at the two extremes. I'll be straining my eyes this way and straining my eyes this way to look for the people in my class. May God help me today in Jesus' name. But I would have loved if we can use the two middle rows. At least we can still do the social distancing in the two middle rows. All right. We are looking at Putting Faith to Work, Part 2. We are continuing with the book study that we started some time ago, precisely on the book of James. And we are looking at the topic, Avoiding Friendship with the World. We have looked at it before, so we are looking at it the second time. If you don't mind, we'll say, Avoiding Friendship with the World, Part 2. And our focal text is James chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 6, which we have read. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, wrote this book to Christians in his time, and it was a very practical book, so to say. Several issues or topical issues were raised in it, in the chapters and in the verses. There are portions where he looked at various subjects, and what is inherent in these verses we are looking at this evening is the issue of friendship with the world, which we are considering. I read from my Message Bible. James chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. So you are cheating on God. If you want, if All you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He is a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you will find. It's common knowledge that God goes against a willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. Amen. That is the way the Message Bible translated those verses we just read in King James. And it brings it closer to our everyday English. We are still working and looking at James' admonition on every various topics. Today we would be considering our body friendship with the world. This is usually a problem for many churchgoers, particularly those who have not yielded their lives totally to the Lord. The question is, why this admonition not to be in friendship with the world, when in actual fact we live in the world and make our living in the world? Praise God. Praise God. And so, you've got to listen very properly. Maybe some of the questions you will raise at the end of the day are already raised here. And so, as we talk, we'll be providing answers to them. So, if you were asking this line, it's an indication that you didn't follow from the beginning. Why should we say that we should avoid friendship with the world when we are living in the world? And in the world, we are making our living. That takes us to... Where is Brother Godwin? It's in their strong room. If we can have the outline now, I think I'll prefer it. Brother Jacob, meet Brother Godwin to get the outlines from him. Let's have them now. If you know many people, when they come late, now they're not going to get... Please give them out. I don't know how many that are there. So, the first part we will look at is the biblical definition of the word world. Don't mind me, I'm not an English teacher. The Bible, in this context, considers the term word and in the Greek language, it is cosmos, as portraying human society as a system warped by sin, tormented by beliefs and desires and emotions that surge blindly and uncontrollably. It also refers to the complex system, that's another dimension of age. It also refers to the complex system of our age or any generation that Satan inspires to be independent of the Creator or God. We have some references there. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, Colossians 2:20, 1 John chapter 2 verse 16, and chapter 5 verse 19. Let's see if we can get them. Okay. ICT, thank you seriously. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren in Ephesus, had to make them understand this, that we are in this world and we are in constant battle, because Olawale wrote to me in his book titled The Gods Are Not to Blame, mentioned that man's struggle begins from birth. The moment you step into planet Earth, that is why the baby will start by crying. And in fact, if you refuse to cry, nurses will beat him or her, you must cry. I will ask them why they need to beat the child, that the child must cry. All right. So, Paul told them, we are in constant wrestling battle with principalities of this world, rulers of darkness in high places. Measure them in their category. That is not our focus now. But it paints a picture of the world that we are talking about for us here. Then let's see Colossians 2. Okay, we already have a First John. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And John, the apostle, who wrote the book of John, that Bible scholars call John the Beloved, he is the disciple who, whenever they are sitting, he would like to place his head on the chest of the Master Jesus, like his Omomo. He was already an elderly man this time, and he had to write to the brethren, to the church. And he made them understand this, that whoever that is in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't forget, we have raised the question, why are we saying we should not be in friendship with the world, where in the world we live, we have our being, quote and unquote. We make our living out of this world. Right? Why are we saying we should not be in friendship with the world? And so the world we are talking about is what we are trying to give the biblical explanation to in this first part of our study this evening. We said it refers to the complex system of our age, or any generation that Satan inspires to be independent of the Creator or God. Every form of evil, immoral acts, sinful pleasures of the world, the spirit of rebellion, are part of what the Bible means by the world. In other words, any area of this world system that refuses to acknowledge the sovereignty, the dominion of Christ, is what is termed the world. And so, when we are saying love not the world, we are simply saying do not be in conformity. Do not be in love with the system of this world. The world has a system. That is what we are talking about. And this system is masterminded by Satan the devil. We are living in a time where so many things are happening today. There was a day where we're traveling also. Somebody, he was talking about a medical doctor who was in a place. This man, in fact, is Jesus' missionary. He's not just there because he wants to make money. He charges even far below what general hospital would charge normally. And so people want to go there, interest, and every other person, every other practitioner in the place were against him, not knowing that all of them belong to a particular cult. So they wanted to bring him in at all cost. This man said never, that he's not made for that. And they kept fighting him. And that is the kind of world we are today. Everything we see today, Satan wants to ensure that he's in charge of it. And you get to some place, say, except you belong, you cannot go far. Except you are part of us, there is no way you can be this, you can be that. That is the world system that we are talking about. A brief description of the world system is found in John chapter 2, verse 15. I think we have seen that before. Let's go through it to 17 now. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do we have the Living Bible in our system? Let me see if I can get that myself. Yeah. There was one kid I have many, many, many years ago that is looking older than my grandfather now. But he still contains what I need. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 from the Living Bible. It says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. That is what it means. So your advice here says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers. There are things this world offers. And anyone who goes after what the world offers, scripture tells us it is an indication that you do not really love God. You can be in the church. You can be a worker. You can even be a priest. You can be a pastor. That notwithstanding, if you have this strong affiliation with the world, it is an indication that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. They are from this evil world itself. And verse 17 says, this world is fading away, and this evil, forbidden things will go with it. Whoever keeps doing the will of God will live forever. Amen. Now, three things basically come to mind from this John admonition in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Number one, the lust of the eyes. This is simply coveting or lusting after things of the world, which God does not approve. Viewing pornographic materials and enjoying violent acts are part of the love of the eyes. There are people, I think my father in the Lord had told us several times of a woman while in the church was busy drawing the dress another lady in front of her put on. And when he confronted the lady, he said, "Say, I just want to give it to my tailor to make something like this for me." And the truth is, if you ask her that time, okay, what did you learn from this on the school or whatever was going on then, it's likely that her attention was not in whatever that was going on at that moment, but on how to ensure that this thing that her eyes had seen, that she gets it. And there are people like that. Any star, any rainy star, if they never get them, it's like a part of them is cut off. Ah, so now this dress, they rain now. If you never come their wardrobe, now wahala. Hey, now this material, they rain now. If you never come their wardrobe, now wahala. And we have them in the church. That is what scripture says, the lust of the eyes. And another dimension was told here, viewing pornographic materials and enjoying violent acts are all part of what the scripture termed as lust of the eyes. And there is need for us to bring our eyes, to tame our eyes. I think Job said it, that he had disciplined his eyes, a paraphrase, that they will not look upon a maiden. The number two thing there, the craving of the sinful man was mentioned. Simply all impure desires and the running after sinful worldly pleasure, all kinds of sensual gratification, is part of the craving of the sinful man that Apostle John talked about. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. That is the craving of the sinful man. And this is also the admonition of Apostle Paul to the brethren in Corinth, who by virtue of their location, being a commercial city and all of that, very many of them are given unto these bodily cravings here and there. And those of them who had even got converted were still having struggles with these things. And Paul had to write to them to make them understand what the scriptures says. At the Philippians 3:19, say, whose, and we get it from the beginning, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Okay. Then the last part of it has to do with the boasting of what he has and does. You know me. Do you know who you are talking to? About who they say, we know you. Ekpen word where send and sand you be. The human being were attached, sometimes we attach so much importance to ourselves. We forget that this one that is just making Kim like a war clock. At the moment it stops, it's all over. The man will be hitting his chest. Do you know me? Do you know where I have been to? Do you know my qualification? Do you do this? Do you do that? The boasting of what he has and what he has done or what he does. The spirit of arrogance and self-sufficiency apart from God. The spirit that promotes self. It is of the world. And that is exactly what the man that scriptures told us about when he got up. All was I have labor. Oh my soul, arise. Walk. This is all I have gotten. I will tear down my band. I will extend my bands. I will build bigger warehouse and have enough room to store all that I have labored for. I. And scripture concluded. And God told him, thou fool, tonight your soul shall be required of thee. And the question was raised, who will now enjoy this thing that he attached the I to? And so, bodily boasting or human boasting of all of such is part of the world system that we are looking at that is not supposed to be named among Christians. And so, God desires that his people should stay clear from such kind of lifestyle. We see in the Bible in Genesis where those who built the Tower of Babel of old, an example of when human beings want to see how they can dethrone God. Whoever therefore chooses to be an ally of world system, God created, becomes an enemy of God. That's exactly what James was driving at. And if our topic is saying avoiding friendship with the world, how do we know the signs of friendship with the world so that they can be avoided? And that takes us to our next subheading, signs of friendship with the world. Signs of friendship with the world. How do you know that you are in strong relationship with the world? How do you know that you are in friendship with the world system? There are so many ways anyone can know one's friendship with the world. The best way to do it is to ask some salient self-probing questions. And we're going to consider some of the questions as follows. Number one, do I spend much money on things of the world in order to be like the people of the world? That is a question we need to ask ourselves. Are you a member of a secret cult? Am I a member of a secret cult? Does the world system provide you with quick fixes? Does the world system provide me with quick fixes, either to get a job done or get to the top of the so-called ladder of success? Like I said earlier on, so many places today, it is becoming quite challenging. Once you are not in the clique, and sometimes the clique they actually talk about has actually metamorphosed into some sort of cult that they want to shield you away. You can't go this far. You can't go further than that. And there are people today, even though they are in the church, because they so desire these things, they go get initiated to have these things and still come back to the church to give their testimony. Praise the Lord. I remember one of our brothers in Nineveh, may God bless him, wherever he is. For the day, he called me. Brother Robinson, he made mention of a prof in this uni. Was very close to him. He told him, so boy, I want to make sure that you are given an employment in Asaba with an official car, start your startup payment or whatever. How much you mentioned there? Over 100. Say, but the only thing, you have to come in. Say, okay. Say, I'm a Christian. I don't want that. And it turns out that offer, if he didn't tell me, and he succumbed to it, he will still come to the fellowship tomorrow and say, brethren, praise the Lord. Immediately I finished school, I had an appointment at Asaba with a official car. With it. Our God is good, say, all the time. But he had actually sold out his soul to the devil. And it's happening today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While we were in school, there is a young man who wanted to be SUG president, and they drum it into his ears, say, if they don't blend you, you not go work. You understand my language? You must belong to a particular court first. You must be initiated. And they ended up initiating. I was very close to the elder sister of this young man in question. And then he just told me one day, say, pastor, say, Bill, I said they don't initiate my brother. Say, he told me. And just truly. And at the end, he didn't even get it. But he has plunged himself into it. So, these are what we are referring to as the world system. And that's why, with these questions, you know. When they now say it is only where you are in, that is why it pains my heart sometimes too, when believers who have the opportunity to help others would not. And unbelievers who are cultists, who are occultic, are using their offices, use their influence to get these young ones into diverse kind of cults with the offers they come up with. Colleague, we were discussing one day, say, when then they were see, oh, that just finished secondary school, so somebody came, ah, so boy, you are very intelligent, with his friend. Yeah, I said, no. Say, come, two of you. The way I see you, you guys have very promising future. What is there? I will bring a form to you. You will just fill, sign it, and then you bring, in fact, forget about your parents, whether they have money or not. Anywhere you want school rich, the system will help you. And out of these two young men, one did. You know, the form, the place for signature,
say you don't need to use Bible to sign it. Just cut your hand and drop your blood on it. And one did. At the end, you just put the feed form under your pillow. Brethren, this guy did put the form under his pillow. The boy don't know what happened to form again. The form vanished. He don't submit them. Just like you do on online. You just click and it goes. This other boy feed his own. My friend who told me the story, feed his own. So, Bible, they did the sign form now. Or if the person will not submit sign, at least you go use your hand, touch ink. They use your hand, they press them. You go say, make we cut our hand. So he used ink to do his own, and his own was not accepted. But the other guy has actually plunged himself into something, something. That is the world system we are talking about. And we have people who are going into all these things because they want power, they want fame, they want wealth, they want position, they want promotion, and what have you. But as a child of God, always remember the scripture that says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Brother Solo, now when we talk about national GDP of countries, you can't compare the GDP of US to that of Ghana or even our Niger. Now, the question is, as rich, as wealthy as the state X, Donald Trump or Biden does not have, in fact, the wealth of the state is not for him. Praise the Lord. So, I don't know if I've actually given thought to that scripture. And I want to believe Christ was not just exaggerating when he made that statement. That means as worthy as U.S. If they say everything in U.S. belongs to you, Jesus is saying your soul is weightier. I don't know if there's any grammar like that. There is not. Pardon me. But just try to get what I'm saying. I'm not an English teacher. That your soul is weightier than all of these nations put together. And I don't think any person has gotten the entire nation of any place. It's only the president. When he's through with his tenure, he will go to his house. But a man for wealth, for fame, for position, will sell out his soul just like that. And so we must know, and that is why we must value our birthright. So for anyone who does all of these things, you have actually done, you have repeated what Esau did. And when we read the story, was, I said, that boy, what did they worry him? Because of hunger, just sell a birthright like that. So anytime you do any stupid thing like that to affect your birthright, your salvation, you are repeating what Esau did. Because he never attached importance to that birthright. May we attach importance to our salvation in the name of Jesus. Then, say, is the entertainment world, philosophies of the world, more appealing to you than the teachings of God? Many of our young people today, say today there is night of a thousand love at a busy suit. People will go in their numbers, in their thousands. But these same people who will go and pay, sometimes you see on their flex banner, table for two, 50K, table for four, 100K, VIP, 200. And people will go and pay just to enjoy themselves, quote and unquote. But these same people will tell you, say, I know they feel they play with my people all night. You will never see them in church all night. So, hence we ask that question. Does the entertainment world, the philosophy of this world, are they more appealing to you than the teaching of the word of God? We've got to check it up. Are you in favor of humanistic ideologies such as homosexuality or sinful aberration that replaces God's order for mankind? I don't know whether they have written another Bible that they use. And that was what brought in Anglican when we talk about Church of Nigeria today. Sometimes they had a synod taken in England when they were talking about ordaining homosexual bishops. And the man will come, say, ah, two men can come. And you say, ah, say, I love Brother Kingsley. We will now come and be joining holy matrimony. God forbid, Patin. And bishops, when they had that synod, people from all over the world, when leaders from Africa say, we cannot take this thing to Africa. Say, even the traditional man who does not even go to church know that that is an abomination. So we cannot be part of this. That was why it became to your tent, O Israel. Operate your own. We will be on our own. That is why in Anglican today, or maybe those of us who are from Anglican background, go and find out the history. May God help us in Jesus' name. So we can't be part of this. So for them there, I don't know where they have the backing from. I don't know the Bible they read. That two men cannot come and be joined. Two women cannot come and be joined in the church. To recognize, say, God, do the teachings of the Bible pose a serious threat to your lifestyle? Do you spend more money on things of the world rather than using the same money to boost God's kingdom on earth? If your answers to these questions are yes, or are on the affirmative, as you people will call them, then you need to listen attentively to God's word to renew you and reorient you, because those answers are indication that you are in friendship with the world. So these are the signs. We just pick on these. Many more. And we just pick on all of this one. So it's a check for self-examination. Then, how can we avoid friendship with the world? We noted several of them here. The fact that you are an alien and stranger in the world. So recognize the fact that you are an alien and stranger in the world. Know that you are a stranger here. That you are just passing. You have a home somewhere that you are going. People say, Aurora de Ricoco. You know why? Because he is going. If you buy fresh fish, this thing will spoil against them on the way. And so, it doesn't need it. So, the one who feeds at home. Mm-hmm. And so, every child of God should have this knowledge in him or her that I am going somewhere. This world is not my home. I am just passing by. Like in the words of the song of Jim Reef. Of blessed memory. But if we do not have this at the back of our minds, then we want to embrace everything that comes across our way, and that will become excess baggage that can slow us down or keep us away from where we are going. That is why when scriptures talk about the needle's eye in the Bible, say it is when Jesus said it is easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom. Jesus did not in any way condemn riches in his explanation. And for a long time, we believed that it was practically the needle that we use that tiny thread will go through. It was later on I learned what he meant by the needle's eye. In Jerusalem, and to those of us who do not understand what he meant by the needle's eye, thank God, at least we have faces all over the place now. We have the big gate there that can be opened very wide, that people can drive past. So many things can pass at a time. Then you have another small gate, Abby. So once it is night, the big gate to the city is shut. So travelers who are coming in or who are on a journey, who want to come into a city to sleep, then continue with their journey with their camels and with their luggages, because the main door, the main entrance has been closed. It is that small gate that we have like in our compound. It is that small gate that is referred to as the needle's eye. So for the camel to go through it, because it's that tiny, they will have to offload everything that the camel is carrying. And with proper pain and squeezing, they will have to squeeze the camel to pass through that narrow space into the city. And so when Jesus said, it is easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye, the people he was talking to then understood what he was saying. But today we have something that we call needle, that we use to with thread. Most time it is that one our mind goes to. May God help us in Jesus' name. That is by the wayside. Now, another thing is, Christians are to separate themselves from the world. Of course, where we have read, time will not permit us. Second Corinthians, okay, I say already has it. Hebrews 13. Say, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They know that they were passing this world. They were not having their home in this place. And that gave them some sort of understanding that they are on a journey. Christians must not love the world. Christians must hate the world system. Christ, we have so many references. Time will not permit us to read all of them. That is why you have the outline. Back at home, you can take out your time to read every one of them. Christians must die to the sinful nature of the world. Let's see that Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. As Christians, there is need for us to die to the sinful nature of the world. We must allow the cross to work on us so that we do not remain alive to our bodily cravings. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. To Paul, the world has been crucified to him and him to the world. You know, when somebody dies, man will like women well. If he drop dead at the moment, make you go pack all the beautiful women in the world come. Make that they dance around them. He don't go. Not be so. That is what we are talking about here. That we have to die to our sinful nature. Christians must overcome the world through faith in Christ. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. In the private school where I taught many years ago, we sing it as a marching song to our children in assembly. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God
overcome the world. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcome the world. Even our faith. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcome the world. Even our faith. Brother John, don't laugh, tire. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, whoever overcomes the world, we can overcome the world, and it is a victory, and it is through our faith. We must realize that the world system is against God's will, and it is temporal, it is passing away. Just like we have read in 1 John 2:17. Summary, okay, last item there. Christ must be light and salt. Christians must be the light and salt of the earth. Light is not hidden. As a light, you give illumination to where you are. But then, as salt, at least we are taught in chemistry that salt is used as a preservative. And even before we learn chemistry, self, our grandmama don't know. That's why they can pack the salt, use it to rub meat or fish for preservation. So salt preserves. Salt gives taste. And so when Jesus says you are the light and the salt of the world, do this assignment. What is the function of light? What is the function of salt? If you practically know these things, you will know exactly what Jesus Christ is saying when he says you should be the light and the salt of the world. And I've told you some. Salt preserves. And so as a Christian, Christ expects you that you should preserve whatever you are so that that place will not decay. As light, through you, they shall come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And lastly, take the summary because of our time. It is important to point out the need for each Christian to be as open as possible to those who are of the world. There is a tendency to misconstrue James' point by cutting off every relationship with the people of the world, and as a result, lose touch with people we are supposed to witness to. Please take note of the summary and the conclusion. That is also where we can, just like what we started with, that is some of the things that can prompt question. It is important to point out the need for each Christian to be as open as possible. It does say, oh, because I'm a Christian now, I have nothing to do with my unbelieving parents. I have nothing to do with my unbelieving siblings. I have nothing to do with my brothers and sisters. I have nothing to do with my community because they are godless. They are serving idols. That is not what James is saying here. That by so doing, you misinterpret or misunderstand the point James is driving at. And that can actually make us to be cut off from every relationship with people of the world, which will have been an opportunity to reach out to them. In our classes as students, you have unbelievers who are people who are not Christians. They are in the department and you say, this one, a lie. You don't rule off any person. As they come, say, this one, I'm not going to give my note to this one. Lie. By the time he needs your note, give him or her. It is an opportunity to reach out to him or her. The remedy to friendship with the world is to allow Christ to become the Lord of your life. Complete surrender to his Lordship will help you to divert your attention, devotion, and love from the things of the world to God. At the same time, the Holy Spirit comes to guide the Christian to know how to deal and relate with the people of the world. May God bless his word richly, richly, richly in our hearts in Jesus' name. I gladly hand over to our coordinator for the day.
Good Please, you are putting those ends together. Put them together very well. Praise the Lord. Before we give our offerings, please, we have any question, contribution, comment? Okay.